And we've started with, this is our fourth month in the Sermon on the Mount. So we are working slowly through it, and maybe we will actually finish it sometime this month. We've got 5 weeks this month while I'm here, so it'll be interesting to see how far we can get through. Jesus walked us through salvation. He walked us through the Beatitudes as they're known. We looked at them in detail. We walked through the various passages after that. And then we spent a month looking at prayer and the way that Jesus asked us to pray. And if you are interested, if you missed any of those sermons, they are available online. Because I record them, and there are some other people that follow this series. So if you go to thekurz.com/sermons, you can listen to any of these sermons for the last couple of years of sermons that I've done. So they are available if you've missed any of them. After prayer, Jesus talks about something that has fallen out of favor, and it's not often talked about. It seems that we celebrate as a culture self and lifting up self and getting all that we can get out of life. However, this is not really a biblical approach to life. We're asked to deny ourselves, to seek God, to seek Him, and to seek His blessing. We're compared to workers in the field. And we forget about the fact that we come to salvation and Jesus has a job for each one of us. We also forget about the fact that we're separated from God. And we're connected to God through the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we often feel very separated from God. We don't know His will. We feel lost. We feel alone. And we seek God. And do we really get an answer? We know that He hears our prayers, but we lose that connection that it sometimes seems so real and so immediate, but at times we feel very separated. We also go through times in our life where we have trials and troubles. We have times in our life where we've lost direction and we don't know what we should do. We have times in our lives when we have needs that don't seem to be met. What are we to do then? When you look at verse 16, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others." Fasting is something that the disciples that He's teaching are going to be very familiar with, because prayer and fasting was an important part of Jewish life. We need a chair.
Another chair, Beverly.
Paula, can you grab a chair and take it to the back? When we want to get God's attention, prayer and fasting is a biblical method to show God that you are serious about what He is trying to do. That you're serious about your devotion to God. You're serious about wanting His will and His way rather than your will and your way. Now, before we go much further, let me just say that at our age in this group, I don't see many 20 or 30 year olds in here.
Don't be rich.
There can be medical issues that prohibit you from certain types of fasting. So if you want to do prayer and fasting, do so in a reasonable way. And it may be that you need to talk to your healthcare professional about the manner in which you should do it. So, to go on with the scripture, he says, when you fast. Jesus doesn't say, well, if you decide to fast, or if you're really serious fast. He says, when you fast. Prayer and fasting together is a powerful combination to show God that you're serious. It is also proven to have some health benefits if done correctly. As you deny yourself, and fasting typically involves the absence of food, as you get hungry, as you have hunger pangs, as you have desires, it reminds you of your devotion to God and the fact that you should be praying. Those two work in combination together. But when you fast, he says it again, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret. The Jewish fast by those religious leaders of the day would be announced, and they would make themselves like they are suffering tremendously so that others could see their fast, they could see what they were doing. And Jesus said, they have their reward. Others have lifted them up for their pain and suffering. Therefore, that's all they get. So he said, when you fast, make it between you and God, that God will see you, that you're not seeking the attention of others. You're seeking the attention of God. It's interesting, he says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Doesn't say he might reward you. He doesn't say he might answer you. He said he will reward you. It's one of those few promises that we have. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Right here, Jesus says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, in doing some research, and by the way, this documentation, I'm going to leave out here for you guys. If you wanted them to make a copy of any of this, stick it in your Bible. You're welcome to do so. You have different types of fasts that are biblical in the Bible. You have the disciples' fast mentioned in Matthew 17:21, which was for the deliverance from sin, addiction, and bondage. By the way, that verse in some of your Bibles is omitted or footnoted because it's not in some Greek manuscripts. However, I think the early church pretty well said that that verse is in there, and so I would look at the New King James or whatever, for I think that's an important verse. You have the Ezra's fast, which was for help and God's help in solving problems and protection from Satan. You have the Samuel fast in 1 Samuel 7:6 for revival. You have the Elijah fast, 1 Kings 19, freedom from emotional problems and habits. You have the widow's fast, which was in 1 Kings 17. The widow went without food to meet for the needs of someone else because she sacrificed. God provided food in abundance for her. You have Paul's fast for physical healing and to get direction. Probably one of the most interesting reasons for fasting is to get direction from God. What does God want me to do in this situation? John MacArthur, I was listening to one of his sermons, and he said one of the greatest times in his life is always the time where he feels completely helpless. He has absolutely no power to change a situation that needs to be changed, whether it's physical healing or financial or emotional or whatever it is. And in that time where you are powerless to watch what God can do in His power and in His glory. John the Baptist fast to enhance our walk with God. The Esther fast for protection from the evil one in Esther chapter 4. And then, of course, Jesus' fast in Matthew 4, the fasting for 30 days. And the Daniel fast, fasting for health and seek God's favor, purpose, and vision. Much of our prophecy comes from Daniel. And we're going to look at that today. The types of fasting. A normal fast is no solid food and water or water and juice. That would be a normal fast. The Jewish normal fast would be a period from 6 p.m. in the evening to 6 p.m. in the evening the next day. And it would be with water or water and juice. So, that would be a normal Jewish fast. I would suggest, if you're not used to fasting, to pick a period of time that you know you can sustain. I'm going to skip one meal. I'm going to skip lunch. And I'm going to drink water, and it's going to be X number of hours. It is better to do something that you can do, you can complete, rather than say, I'm going to go without food and water for 3 days. Now, I would say that wouldn't be unwise for anybody in here to do. A, because you aren't going to finish it. And B, because it would be unhealthy. Pick a period of time. And don't tell anyone. And have some water. And make something that you're giving up that's going to affect you. I could say, I'm not going to have eggplant for the next 24 hours. Well, guess what? That'd be really easy. Because it's not that I don't like it. It's just that there are a whole lot of better choices. So, now if I were going to say, I'm not going to have coffee for the next 24 hours, that's really serious for me. Because I like coffee. So, I asked somebody many years ago what they were giving up for Lent. He looked at me and he said, Catholicism. So, it should be something that's important to you, that's going to bother you, but it's not going to kill you or put you in the hospital. So, pick something that you can accomplish and spend that time in prayer and reading the Bible. Fasting and praying. And then see what happens. If nothing really happens, take a little longer time and do it again. An absolute fast is no food or water. And that can be dangerous. So don't take that on unless you're confident that you're physically capable. There's a partial fast, which you abstain from certain types of foods like meat and wine, certain delicacies. It's called the Daniel fast, and he kept it up for some time. You have a juice fast where you only have fruit and vegetables. You have a corporate fast where a group of people are looking for direction and they decide to do a group fast and prayer, a church or an organization. Again, the fasting period, the Jewish fast began at 6 p.m. in the evening and ended the next day at 6 p.m. Why? Remember our studies that show that the Jewish day starts at sunset. So that would be the beginning of the day. And the end of the day is right before sunset the next day. So that is the reasoning behind that. Fasting and abstinence, it can be giving up certain things that are important to you. News, entertainment, reading. Something, I'm going to set aside this in devotion to God. If you're a Facebook junkie, then giving up Facebook. I know some people that should abstain from Facebook for a long period of time. But giving up something that's important to you that's going to remind you to look to God. And again, Jesus says, your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. If you're looking for direction, prayer and fasting is a great way to find God's answer for the direction you should head. A very wise pastor once said in a sermon, something that stuck with me, if you want to know God's will in a situation, what He wants you to do, spend some time getting right with God and serious about God and getting rid of sin in your life, sanctification, then do what you want to do. Because God's going to instill in you new wills, new desires. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Does that mean new desires in your heart? Or does that mean fulfilling those desires? Actually, both. Many people say, especially young people, I'm not going to turn myself over to God because they may make me a missionary to Africa. Let me tell you, those who have been called to do that are some of the happiest people you're going to find. Those who are doing God's will and are called to do whatever are extremely joyful people because they know they have that connection to God. I was sitting at a soundboard one time over at Lake Point across the street. This is many years ago, and I was listening to the sermon. I wasn't listening to the sermon. It was the third time I had heard that sermon because it's Saturday night, Saturday morning, late Saturday morning. So you can kind of tune out a little bit the third time you've heard a sermon. And it, I just had this epiphany of knowing I was in the right place at the right time doing God's will. And it allowed me to see what God had done in my life and our lives as a family over a period of time. And it was really an amazing epiphany to know that you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. If you're interested in finding that, one of the paths is prayer and fasting. So, some of the passages in the Bible that talk about fasting, probably the most famous is Isaiah 58. Because here, Isaiah talks about good fasting and wicked fasting. Isaiah 58 verse 1, cry aloud and do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake their judgment of their God. They ask me of righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you don't see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight, to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such the fast I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see him naked, to cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. This is one of the most famous passages about fasting. It's one purpose is to break the yokes of sin in your life. If you have a besetting sin, and that is a sin that you can't seem to get rid of, a habit that can't be broken, prayer and fasting is your way forward. And that's what God is talking about in Isaiah. Something secret between you and God, and something that humbles you and makes you bow down before God. To be serious in seeking His will and His way, and a freedom from sin, and a freedom from the bondage of sin. This is one of the most famous passages when it talks about fasting. I'm going to put this at the top. Isaiah 58. Daniel 10. Daniel being a prophet and looking for vision, mourning for the fate of his country, Israel. Verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Upaz and around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words I have spoken to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken the word to me, I stood up trembling, and he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God. Your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. God saw the seriousness of Daniel as he mourned and fasted and prayed for 3 weeks. He was serious about seeking the vision from God as a prophet. If we're serious towards God and we want to show God our seriousness, fasting and prayer is a way forward, not a way back. And God will reward you. Matthew 17. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O you faithful, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we cast him out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go except for by prayer and fasting. faith is strengthened through prayer and fasting. It strengthens our faith and our reliance upon God in seeking His will for what to do. The man thought his son was simply physically ill. He didn't understand that it was an evil spirit in his son. And Jesus cast out the spirit. He had the power. And he told the disciples, prayer and fasting is the secret. So, if your heart is burdened, if you're seeking God's will, if you've gotten to the place in life where you're hopeless going forward, you don't have the power to solve the problem. We all like to be self-reliant. We all like to be the problem solver. We all like to be able to solve life's problems, but we all come to the point at times where we are powerless to solve the problems. We don't know the way forward. We feel trapped. We turn to God and seek His will. God often puts us in those positions where we have to seek Him. It's part of His plan. And if we want to show that we are serious to God, prayer and fasting, and God will, not maybe, not for some people, God will reward you. That's a powerful promise. A very powerful promise. So again, be sensible, take on something smaller, and work up more as you physically can tolerate it. And spend that period of time seeking God, seeking His will, humbling yourself in prayer, and then see in secret what God will do for you to reward you. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We are thankful for the truthfulness of it. We are thankful for the promises of it. And we seek your will and your way in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you know that it was Mother's 94th birthday yesterday also? We all were born on the same day. That's pretty amazing. Good to see you. Well, thank you. I'll be here all of September. Yeah, 5 weeks.
Lord willing. And the creek don't rise. You're welcome.
This month was my 94th birthday, too.